Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Just leave it to me. I'll lead you on. Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What are you supposed to do when you firmly believe you have a great idea for a new business? You launch your business, even though it's at a time when other businesses are closing. And when you do, you hit roadblocks. So many roadblocks, you're at the breaking point. What about when the government makes decisions and the laws impact your monthly budget and you know there will not be enough to live the way you've been accustomed? Our guest today is Guy Akasaki. He is the owner and president of Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Hawaii. It was named one of the fastest growing companies by Inc. 500-5000 magazine. And along with several other companies, including companies like Hawaii's Best Coffee Company and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Philippines, and a number of other companies Guy has started, and his business continues to expand. And his story, though, is not only one of survival, it's one of success and prosperity. And one of the reasons why I felt it was so important to have him in our studio is because in the midst of us doing this program series called Hope in a Time of Crisis, I think it's appropriate because people today are facing challenges of numerous kinds. But the beauty of it all is that in the midst of these challenges, financial challenges, relational challenges, family challenges, God is here to give you hope and better and stronger purpose to renew you and to renew your faith. So, Guy, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Guy, tell us a little bit, where did you grow up?
Where did I grow up? Actually, I'm a military brat. Went to a high school in Okinawa. Went to Kubasaki, the only military high school on the island of Okinawa, right? And so we had to break up our whole school into three different demographic areas of the island, and we would play football against each other, we would play wrestling against each other, all in the same school. Isn't that a paradigm shift?
Huh? Wow. Yeah. So you grew up in Okinawa, and how did, military brat, how did growing up in a military family, how did that affect you?
Actually, in the beginning, when you're young, it's pretty difficult, you know, because as you grow up, like here, as we know in Hawaii, there's such an island softness about it. You know, there's an affinity for family. And when you grow up in a military family, you're constantly rotating on a 3-year basis. Mm-hmm. And when you're an adult, it's not too bad. Different lands, different people, different culture. You acclimate very well. Mm-hmm. But when you're a young child, you know, you have friends.
Right.
And when you have to move in 3 years, it's like your guts got ripped out. Mm. And you do that tour after tour after tour. So if anything, yeah, maybe you lose the root, but what happens is you begin to acclimate yourself. You begin to, how would you say, culturally acclimate yourself. You learn to put yourself into different scenarios. And actually, it makes you pretty resilient.
Mm-hmm.
You meet different people. You enjoy different environments. see different countries, and it's pretty cool.
So even that upbringing, you can see how God was forming, shaping you for some or a lot of the things that you're doing today.
Yeah, but back then I never knew him, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we want to get to that. We want to get to that. Now, explain to us, how did you come to know the Lord?
Actually, it came, you know, as a Buddhist all my life. Mm-hmm. And I guess if you could say one of those Buddhist kids where parents would make you sit behind a pew and you'd go with the beads and say your chants. And I would be very bored and I would dig my pocket knife into the back of the pew, put my initials. That's how religious and how consistent I was in my walk. But as I went to high school and I left Okinawa, you know, you get free. You feel free. Like, you don't have to do this anymore. Mom and dad's not telling you to do this anymore. And, you know, after a while you begin to enjoy, so to speak, the good life.
Yeah.
The parties, the fun, the drinking, the smoking. I mean, you do what you like.
Uh-huh.
Nobody tell you what to do. Until one day you find out that it repeats itself over and over and over again. The next morning you wake up with a hang-up. The next morning you wake up with a hang-up. The next night you go to a party. It's the same thing, same old, same old. And actually, back then, my girlfriend, now my wife, went to a party, and in the midst of all this smoking and drinking, this guy started to witness to us. And in this party, he began to speak about God and began to talk about this. And
you guys are all high?
Semi. Yeah. She wasn't, I was. But, and as a result of it, she got saved. And I remember thinking after she had gotten saved, you know, I was thinking, you know what? This God thing, I don't know if this is for me. But yet there was a seed that was planted, and it was a nagging in my spirit. And it wasn't not more than maybe 4 months later after she had gotten saved, God began to prompt me, and I would go with her to church. And that's the worst thing, for the guys to go to church because the wife got, or the girlfriend got saved, right? And I said, I'll go just because you want me to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, in the course of a service, God, the anointing of spirit just dropped. And I began to weep. Couldn't understand why, but I began to weep. And I said, you know what, this is a fluke. Something is wrong. And God had planted even a deeper seed till, you know, within I'd say 6 months, you know, I had accepted the Lord. Now, unfortunately, when I accepted the Lord, some people get all wiped out and they're crying, they're weeping, and you're going, wow, this is so cool. When I accepted the Lord, nothing happened. But yet, I knew there was a firmament in my spirit. That there was something that was planted of solidity. Something that brought fullness and an awareness in my spirit that even to this day, I look back and I just stand in amazement. Yeah.
Now, how did your life change at that time? Was it a dramatic change? Now you accepted the Lord or what? What
happened? Well, actually, you know, we all would like to think that. And I think at the time it happens, boy, you feel really clean because, you know, I mean, you accepted the Lord and there's just such a power about it. Maybe I could kind of draw that to, you know, I've been now Christian for many, many decades. And as early as, I'd say 2 years ago, you know, my landlord and I, we own buildings, but we're trying to find a facility that would fit all of our organizations. And I had to renew my lease. And in the course of renewing my lease, my landlord would occasionally come to our property and he wouldn't worry because we'd fix everything. He wouldn't have to repair anything.
Yeah.
And so we had connected two of his warehouses together. He saw the improvements we were doing and he never said anything. But the one thing he didn't like was the fact that we had connected his two buildings. And so he started to say, he says, well, that's not what the lease says. You're supposed to let me know. You're supposed to get permission. Now, this is a Christian over many, many decades. In the middle of our lobby, I said, you know, Mark, I mean, I just need to make our companies more efficient. You know, I mean, you've seen us do all these other improvements. And he says, yeah, but you're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to get my permission first. And I said, what is your problem? And then he started getting upset with me in the middle of our office, who I have a lot of Christian people as well as non-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And we got into an argument. Then I started swearing and he started swearing.
Mm-hmm.
Christian over many, many decades now. Mm-hmm. And this happened maybe 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where he ran out of there in a huff and he says, you know what, guy, I want to see you at Zippy's tomorrow morning at 7:30. We're going to talk about this. I said, do whatever you like. Okay? You know, I got to watch it. You're not watching out for my business. I am. And so he left in a huff and I was pissed and I was very upset. So what was very interesting was the fact that that night I went home, and my wife and my child knew I was upset. So they said, what happened? I don't want to talk about it. So all the way into the night, till about 11 o'clock at night, as a Christian, many decades again, I remember sitting in the living room, and I said, what a clown. You know, my landlord, that guy is crazy. You know, I'm making all this money for him. I'm paying my rent in a time like this, and he's making all this noise about having the right to do this, but yet he saw me do all these improvements. And so I sat there, and I was just stewing and stewing and moping and moping in the dark corner of our living room at 11 o'clock at night. And then suddenly I hear this small, still voice from God tell me, he goes, I guess you're right, huh, guy? I mean, think about it. He has been making a lot of money, and you've been paying for all the repairs that he as a landlord should actually be paying for, right? I said, you're darn right, God. I mean, what is the deal? And then, because I had that in my spirit, like God affirmed it, I thought, yeah, you're on my side, right, God?
Yeah.
And then I said, like a little kid to the parents, saying, why are you asking me that? And you never do that. Because in that moment, suddenly, right before my forehead, in my mind, the word covenant, big, black, bold letters popped up in my head. Covenant, the strongest word for the definition of a contract. And then like a little kid, you shouldn't ask the next question. I said, well, what are you trying to tell me?
Yeah.
And then boom, it was like a red digital sign on my forehead, and I could see again. And it said, the lessee shall notify the lessor of any changes or any improvements prior to and get permits and authorization and signatures prior to executing any improvements. So I had done an improvement to his property without properly adhering to the lease agreement, which was a covenant that I had made with him in the beginning. And I sat there in a couch looking at this image in my mental image in my head. And did I feel stupid? I felt really bad. Because you know what? First, I blew it in the office only because I thought I was the self-assured guy. I got to watch out for myself. I'm making you money, so be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't complying with the basic precepts of honesty, of commitment, integrity, and alignment to the covenant that we uphold not only before the Lord, but also in contractual agreements that we have, whether they be saved or not. So that night I went to sleep feeling really bad. And as you could probably think, I fell asleep real fast because I didn't want to think about it anymore. I woke up in the morning, and it was really neat because God had taken away all that aggravation and spitefulness and irritation. And I remember going to this restaurant, to Zippy's, and sitting there and talking with him. When I walked in, he was sitting there, and he was already stewing. You could see he was red, flushed, and all.
Wow.
And as I walked in, he started yelling at me in the middle of the restaurant.
Wow.
Saying this, and you sit down, and you know what? I'm gonna evict you, and I'm gonna da-da-da-da-da. And I'm going, I deserve this. In my mind, I'm going, I deserve this. This is totally. But in the meantime, as he's getting more upset, I'm starting to rile up in my spirit as well. And then he ran out of breath, and then he goes, so you know what? And when it was a gap, I said, Mark, may can I say something? And then he went off again. And then he ran out of breath again. I said, can I say something? And he went, what? You know, typical, right? Kalihi boys. What? What you like? He says, I want to apologize. For what? And I said, I had some time to think about it last night, and Mark is a non-Christian. And basically when he said that, he says, what are you talking about? He says, last night I had some time to really sit. And as I was sitting there thinking about it, I was totally wrong. I was totally out of place and out of wrong to do what I did to you. And I wanted to apologize. I said, I thought about it last night, and the word that came to my mind was covenant. When I signed that lease agreement with you, I made a commitment to you. I made a covenant with you to comply with those parts of the contract. And part of it was any improvements, whether you made money or not off of me, is that I needed to notify you and get your permission. And I failed to do that. And I was totally wrong. And for that, I apologize. But more than that, I want to ask your forgiveness for yelling at you and being totally out of place, especially in a public arena. And so, I want to ask your forgiveness. And, basically he looked at me and he goes, nah, 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 no, 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 typical, right?
Yeah,
Hawaii
yeah.
people didn't want to.
Says,
no, no, you know what? I really, really need this. I really need you to forgive me because I, you know, this is for me, you know, and I just need to know that you forgive me. And he sat down and he says, okay, I'll forgive you. I said, thank you, Mark. But in the meantime, Mark, I'm putting everything back to the way it originally was, and then I'll come and talk to you afterwards. And he said, no, let's just sit down and talk about it. Maybe we can work something out.
Wow.
But shortly after that little escapade, we sat down. He said, let's have breakfast now instead of just coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And he continued to sit down. He started, we were talking. And then while we're eating breakfast, he asked me this question, Danny. He says, Guy, I have heard. I don't know you that well. You've been my tenant for over 6 years. But I don't know you that well, but I have heard that you're a religious man. Now, after I swore at him, after I healed him, after we went through all these things, and then we got into this beef, almost got into a fight,
yeah.
He says, I heard you're a religious man. And I tell you something, man, inside my heart and my spirit, I'm going, ooh, man, after being decades as a Christian and being an example in all these things, I'm going, oh, this is embarrassing, Lord. I'm having this little conversation.
Yeah.
And he says, I heard you're a religious man. And I'm going, God, what am I going to say? You know, a short little millisecond conversation that seemed like an eternity with God.
Yeah.
And God's going, mm-hmm. And then he says, and I remember sitting here and I said, well, you know what, Mark, I guess it depends by what definition you mean religious. Yeah, I am a religious guy, right? And he goes, oh, so, what are you? And I tell you what, I wanted to say I was a nominal Christian, but I told him I was a non-denominational Christian while I was trying to take a bite of my Spam and rice. And I thought that was the end of the conversation. Then he eats his breakfast and he goes, so, what kind of Christian are you? Are you like one of those born-again Christians? And I went, oh, and God's going, he says, mm-hmm. How are you going to answer this one?
This is getting better and better. And you got to hear what actually happened, what actually transpired in this conversation, this very heated dialogue that was a follow-up of what happened the day before. Now they're wrapping things up, having breakfast. But when we come back, I want you to hear how through Guy, God orchestrated something special in this point of communication. One of the things I love about Guy Akasaki, he's a guy who shoots straight, not only from the hip, but he speaks from the heart. He's going to give us more sharing from his heart to us when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Guy Akasaki.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training, make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name.
Call Stephen at 330-5524. That's 330-5524.
A door to your dream is now open. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Guy Akasaki. Before our break, he was in the middle of telling us about an encounter that was about to change in a very, very special way from a heated, almost violent point of communication to something that was going to turn, as you will hear in just a little while, to be something amazingly redemptive and even a blessing. Now, a program like the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for some very generous sponsors like Wahiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Bert Unical, right there on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, and Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited. To hear more programs like this, go to www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can communicate with me via email, danny@thegoodlifehawaii.org. Send in your prayer requests right there on our website, and we can get it. We can pray for you. We'd love to pray with you and pray for you. You might want to share your testimony. Maybe God is doing something in your life that you would want to share. You can go ahead and do that as well. You might even have a guest, a friend, a family member. You say, man, we need to get them on that Good Life Hawaii show because I think it's going to be a blessing to people. Well, send us an email. Give us some contact information, some background, and we can go ahead and follow up with that. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, Guy, you were telling us about, now there you are in zippies. Mm-hmm. We can all relate with zippies. Zippies in the morning, you're gonna have coffee, and all of a sudden now you're having coffee, and this friend of yours, this business, your landlord. Steaming. Mm-hmm. And fuming, and I mean, just spewing out words and anger and discontent, and then you ask for forgiveness, and he said, you set him back, and then he starts asking, hey, I hear you're religious. Now you guys are gonna have not coffee, you guys are gonna have breakfast, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. We promoted coffee, you know. So now, coffee to now, nice man.
Now you're gonna have breakfast, and he asks you, are you a religious man?
Yeah, he'd asked me if I was a religious man, and as I sat there, I was so embarrassed thinking about it, and I'm having this little dialogue with God in my heart, and I'm going, man, do I feel foolish. You know, I suppose we were a Christian, and we really blew it in front of everybody, and blew it in front of this guy, and this guy don't even know the Lord. So he's asking me, what are you? So I said, I wanted to say I'm a nominal Christian, so I can, you know, kind of gloss over this.
Ease it up.
So I just told him, I'm a non-denominational Christian. I put food in my mouth real quick. Hopefully he wasn't going to talk anymore. So he took another bite of his breakfast, and then he goes, so what are you? And I went, oh, this is really getting embarrassing. In the meantime, I can hear God in the back of me kind of going, what you going to say now, right? And I'm going, oh, boy. So I said, I'm a Christian. Then I ate some more spam and rice. And he's eating. He goes, so, like, what kind of Christian? Are you like one of them, what do you call them, born-again Christians? Oh, it's like taking a dagger and sticking it through my heart. And I'm going, oh, man, God. And then I was really, really embarrassed. And this internal conversation I was having with God, God's over there kind of giggling and laughing and going, what you going to say now? And I'm thinking, God, what am I going to do now? I feel so foolish, right? And he says, how can I speak so that this can bring glory to you? And he's over there, he's just laughing. He says, trust me, guy. And I remember sitting there and I'm going, trust you, I feel like a fool, right? And I remember him looking at me and he says, again, it was almost like a repeat of what just happened prior. He goes, so what kind of Christian are you, guy? And I said, you know something, after I finished my dialogue with God, I said, you know something, Mark, I'm a born-again Christian. And he goes, oh, so you're one of those guys, huh? And I went, yeah, one of those guys. But you know what? One thing I wanted to kind of impart to you, and it's suddenly like the grace of God just dropped. And God began to put the words into my mouth.
Yeah.
And I sat there looking at him, and it was just a real confidence, if you could say, in him, though, not in me. And I looked at him, and I said, you know something, Mark? I am a born-again Christian. But you know what? Let me elaborate and expound on that. You know, when Jesus came to this planet and to this world, his son died for us. And the gift that he gave to us was the shedding of his son's blood to cover our sins and to forgive us of our sins, to give us, when we accepted him, eternal life, salvation in him. And that it was unconditional. He just gave it to us. We didn't have to earn it. We didn't have to do anything. He just gave that because he loved us, right? And that's what it is. A born-again Christian, we accept him as babes. And so he gives us an opportunity to wipe the slate of our life clean and to start over again.
So you're sharing this with Mark, right?
I'm sharing this with Mark. And I haven't talked to him for over 7 years, right, as a landlord. So we're sitting there saying, and he's looking at me kind of quizzically, and I said, see, when you look at the Bible, there's only a few guys that made it to heaven automatically. The rest of us suckers, I'm going to have to put nice people like you through situations like that, which is real bad, so that it makes my character more like him. And then he started to crack up. So I said, I'm not perfect. I'm working on it. But yes, I am a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
You know, at first I was very embarrassed, Mark, to say that to you, especially in light of this. But I feel just a real sense that this is something God wanted me to speak to you to, that I am not perfect and that I am trying to be who he wants me to be with everything that I am, right? And hopefully this is a, you know, something that will impart some life to you. He started to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And we had a great time. And I said, okay, now can I eat my breakfast, Mark? And he said, yeah, we eat, we eat, we eat. And that's what happened. And that now, shortly after that, we've never talked for ages. I mean, we've never talked over all the years since he's been a landlord. He started to divulge his life and what he was planning to do, talking about his family. Then he was talking about selling certain assets within a company, you know, that he had. They have a pretty good sized portfolio. And so, you know, there were some things that he was selling that I said it would be a perfect fit for us. And what was really interesting was there was a building that was in a Kakaako area that would kind of fit. But he had an offer, and I said, hey, Mark, would you mind? He said he was telling me he was having a hard time with that buyer. And so I said, sure. I said, can I put a backup offer? And he said, sure, that's fine.
So this is all happening
right after breakfast.
Right after breakfast. After the day before.
2 days before, exactly.
Okay, wow, all right.
Yeah, it moved from an argumentative, almost a fight in the lobby of my office to the restaurant. We're kind of breathing down each other's neck to the night before where God was speaking to me about covenant, and to the next day when he started to ask me all those embarrassing questions.
Yeah.
It led segue in that same breakfast to talking about his life. And then suddenly...
And that's voluntarily.
Voluntarily. Voluntarily. And then it moved into what he was planning to do. And then I found out in a conversation he was liquidating and selling some of his assets. Mm-hmm. And so he told me that he had a building in Kaka'ako, that, you know, the buyer was kind of going hemming and hawing. And he said, could I be your backup offer? And I thought, you know, for that size, for this area, you know, it would be so much. So I offered a little bit more. And so anyhow, we sat down, went to look at the property. I said, hey, it fits. It would fit our operation. So anyhow, he said, okay, fine. Are you really interested in it? I said, sure. He says, well, I have to go on a trip for 3 weeks to Europe. And I said, that's fine with me because, you know what, I've got to go to my Philippines operation. I'll be gone for 2 weeks and then I'll be back. And he says, okay, I'll tell you what, gentleman's agreement, we agreed to that figure. And it was, you know, in the millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So we agreed to it and...
gentleman's agreement, huh?
Yeah, gentleman's agreement, a shake, a handshake.
Uh-huh.
And so we basically had left at that. And I remember it was really interesting. I have another brother that is a fellow brother. And, you know, he's been in the industry a long time in the real estate. So I asked him mm-hmm. to affirm that. And mm-hmm. he goes, oh, it's a good, why do you have to ask me to do this?
Uh-huh.
He says, well, I just wanted to find out. I said, well, I hope you got this in writing because this only comes out once in a lifetime. I mean, in my 30-something years of real estate, and yeah. there's nothing that like this that you wouldn't want to put down in writing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, no, we shook on it. Shook on it. Are you crazy? He says, you watch. When you come back, we'll be gone. And I said, I don't know. He made a commitment. And he goes, fine. So anyway, you know, he had left. I had left. But, you know, being in business, I wanted to make my due diligence. So I called some appraisal people in Hawaii while this was happening. And this is when Kaka'ako began to explode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in the process of it, I found out that this property was worth almost $1 million more than I had offered. And so it was kind of interesting. I thought, wow, man, this is pretty amazing, yeah? So anyhow, when I came back, you know, after I did all my homework, Mark had called me up when he came back, and then we sat and we met at Zippy's again.
Now, the Zippy's is a very unique place because mm-hmm. a lot of businesses transacted.
yeah.
A lot of relationships.
Like a golf course.
yeah. That's a non-golfer's golf course yeah. meeting place,
yes.
Zippy's. Now, as things begin to transpire, you have this gentleman's agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of it goes back, though, to you coming to a place, Guy, where God was working in your life.
Exactly.
And you actually was humbled to a point where, you know, after this heated, spewing, volcanic explosion in the mm-hmm. office in front of everyone.
Absolutely.
Now you're at Zippy's, and then you humble yourself and you apologize. So now you're talking about covenant, relationship, the Lord has spoken to you. And now you're on the threshold of an opportunity
mm-hmm.
that a brother who is in real estate seasoned for many, many years is saying, this is a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you must have gotten it in writing. And you're saying, no, this is a gentleman's agreement. Now, what happened after that is something our listeners need to hear.
Mm.
That's why when we come back from our break, we want to hear. Because now you got
sure.
you got these appraisers coming in. You realize that it's valued much, much higher
mm-hmm.
than what you offered.
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely.
You had that handshake, right? The gentleman's
absolutely.
Agreement. When we come back, Guy Akasaki is going to share more with us about this incredible story. When it comes to integrity and faith and commitment, see what God does. See what God can do for you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
Years ago, the great lyricist Oscar Hammerstein flew with a friend over New York Harbor, approaching the Statue of Liberty. When the pilot suddenly banked the plane, he saw the rare sight of Lady Liberty's hand. Amazed, he noticed every lock and braid meticulously carved and polished. He remembered, this gift was given by France in 1886, before airplanes were even invented. Frédéric Auguste Bartholdi, the sculptor, could have saved months of painstaking labor and expenses by doing minimal work, reasoning no one but seagulls would see it. A gentle reminder, pay attention to details. Don't neglect the little things. You never know how your private work will be scrutinized publicly. I'm Danny Yamashiro, enriching you with the good life.
To receive more inspiration and insights from Danny Yamashiro, visit DannyYamashiro.com. This ad is brought to you by select corporate sponsors who care about you. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. We're here with our featured guest today, Guy Akasaki. He's the founder and president of Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Hawaii, and is owner of a number of numerous other companies in Hawaii and in the Philippines and Guam and other parts of the world. Guy Akasaki, telling us a story in Zippy's, and this is a very dynamic coffee now turned into breakfast, but it kind of started at a point where God was speaking to him about humbling himself, getting back to the cores of honesty and integrity, remembering a covenant. And then going back, what would almost seem like going backwards than what he had already done and however far he had already come, but to make things right with, in a business relationship with somebody that he, that is not a believer. And just think about this. It comes in the context of what many of us would probably consider that we just blew it. We blew our our testimony. We blew our witness. We are totally out of character of what a non-Christian would think that a Christian should be, and we just lost it. Mm-hmm. And God begins to repair it through Guy's responsiveness, and a door opens in the heart of this person who he hasn't spoken to, but he's the landlord for many years, and an opportunity comes. So, Guy, tell us, so the opportunity is there. You guys have a gentleman's agreement for a sizable piece of property worth a lot. Mm-hmm. But you're buying it for a lot, but it's worth even more than you offered. And it was agreed upon by the gentleman's agreement handshake. Right.
Well, it's interesting. We met at that location again, Zippy's. I remember sitting there, and I remember he had his coffee, I had my breakfast, and he's looking at me.
And this is after
relaxed.
The trip. You guys
this
come back from the
trip,
right?
We come back, yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to hide my excitement. you know, the cool, calm, collected business person. anyhow, sitting there, he's having his coffee, and he looks at me across the table, and he goes, with his hands wrapped around his coffee cup, and I'm eating my spam and eggs again. And he goes, are you sure you want to buy the property? And I went, yeah, no, I'm very, do you think it'll be able, you'd be able to use it? Because the other guy, apparently, you know, he fell out. And if you're interested, I mean, if it fits, I mean, are you actually going to move all your businesses there? And I said, yeah, I mean, I think it will fit, you know, unless my company grows at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and as I was eating, I could feel God beginning to go, hey, buddy, maybe you better let him know, you know, I mean, geez, you know, I mean, it seems like you kind of take an advantage. And I'm going, shh, I don't see anything. Eating my spam, hopefully the munching of my food would just kind of make his voice go away. And then I hear this, like a parent to the kids, right? And I said, oh, and after stuffing my face and stopping, you know, my spirit was kind of, I remember I stopped and I said, you know what, Mark? You know, I'm not no dummy. And I really value who you are. And while I was away in overseas at my other office, I did call over here and I did get an idea of what's happening here, you know, in this, market at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually found out that this property is almost $1 million more than it's what I put the offer in. And before I could even finish that almost $1 million more, he goes, actually $4.25 million. Quarter of $1 million more than I said.
Mm-hmm.
And I went,
He already knew.
He already knew. And so he looked at me and I looked at him and I said, you know something, Mark? I said, you know, it's kind of interesting, yeah? And I said, well, you know what, Mark? I want you to know. You know, I mean, I know we had a gentleman's agreement. But you know what? Hawaii is a and business. It's about what is in black and white. It's agreements, right? And be honest with you, I value my relationship with you more than the money. I said, God has given me an opportunity to get to know you, and you got an opportunity to know who I am. And, you know, when it comes to deals like this, I mean, sometimes we like to say it's pie in the sky, but I want you to know that whatever decision you decide to make, because he told me that he received an unsolicited offer for $1.2 million more. I said, whatever you decide to do, I want you to know that I highly respect and I respect whatever decision that you decide to make. And if I can put in an offer in after that, that's fine. But I think the relationship is more important
and
guy, at this point.
And Guy, your heart, you had peace in your heart at this time?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, right there, sharing that?
Absolutely. Otherwise, I would have forced them.
So basically, you're telling them, hey, we can renege on our
yes.
On our gentleman's agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, and things will still be okay with us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, what's kind of interesting is that God had given me a real peace to speak in, and not to speak it with hesitancy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you're talking about that kind of money, you're talking a lot of money.
Oh, geez.
And so you're sitting there going, boy, you know, you know, you really don't know how to say, and when you're in that kind of scenario, you're torn in your spirit or in your mind, you don't know what you're articulating. But there was such an eloquence in the spirit where God began to just, you know, speak the right words. It was interesting. There was a momentary silence on his behalf and mine as we were kind of looking at each other. What seemed to me seemed like an eternity. It was like me and God going, well, good boy, you did the right thing. And I said, yeah, the right thing was me. You know, but as we sat there having these, I have all these little dialogues on the side that seem like forever, but it's only like a millisecond.
Sure.
Coming back, Mark just looked at me and he says, quietly looked at me straight in the eye and he goes, okay. I did, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Then he pulled out this piece of paper out of his back pocket and he laid it on the table. And I looked at it while I was finishing up my plate. And I thought it was going to be for maybe an opportunity for me to put in a new figure.
Mm-hmm.
And he opened up the paper and he took out a pen and he says, guy, sign here. And I said, what is that? And then I put on my glasses and I read it and I said, it was a DROA. And so I looked at it and I went, oh, what? And it was for the figure, the amount that I had put in before, which is $3 million. And I went, that's the same figure that we agreed to. And he goes, yeah. He said, guy, you know, a deal is a deal. And it was interesting. And I sat there, are you kidding? And he goes, And I told him, are you sure? And he says, yep. So I started to sign it. And as I was signing it, I was laughing and I was joking. He says, hey, brother, Mark, you know, even though you know I'm a born-again Christian, and hopefully I will pass this test, I don't know if I would be so generous if I was in your shoes, knowing what I knew. And it was funny that even in this type of life experiences, right, that God can still bless. What could have driven me could have been the possibility of earning more money and forcing the issues of a hand-felt shake, you know, an agreement made by a handshake in the old days. But God was testing my heart. He was testing my character. He was testing my integrity. And through this whole exercise, this test, was something that he was shaping and defining me for such a time as that.
You know, Guy, I want to take a... Just, we're going to take a quick break. But I want you to share what lessons you learned out of this. What lessons that we can take with us that can, especially in an economically constrained scenario that we're living in right now, what lessons can we take out of that? What lessons did you learn from God that we can take and use in our lives? When we come back, Guy Akasaki is going to share some of that with us. These are golden nuggets for life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training. Make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name.
Call Stephen at 330-5524. That's 330-5524.
A door to your dream is now open. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. We're here with business owner, entrepreneur, Guy Akasaki, owner and founder of Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Hawaii, and a slew of numerous other companies, both here in Hawaii, Guam, Philippines, and other parts of the world. But Guy is here telling us one incident where through something that could have been a complete disaster in his faith, it was a way of witness, the kind of witnessing experience that no follower of Christ wants to have in their track record. But then God redeemed it. God used his humility to come back to this person that there was this eruption because of a business deal, a business situation. And then it's changed. And the opportunity comes for him to make a lot of money on a gentleman's agreement. But then he realizes that a piece of property is worth so much more. Now, he signs the agreement because he came open about it and say, hey, did you know that it was worth this much more? The other person, Mark, says, hey, it was worth more than what you said it's worth. And they sign an agreement based on the original price. So already, a financial blessing is coming to Guy Akasaki. Guy, in the whole process, what lessons did God teach you?
I think when I look at this chapter, if you could say, or this episode in my life, it's an ongoing, how would you say, a lesson, a teaching lesson.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, there's a point in life where God begins to, you know, we talk about trusting God.
Yeah.
And sometimes we use that word a little bit too loosely.
Mm.
We said, I trust God. What does trust really mean?
What does it mean?
You know, what does it take to really trust? Do we just understand trust from the perspective of intimacy from Webster's Dictionary, where it's the logos?
Yeah.
Or do we understand trust from the Rhema, which is a revelation? Mm-hmm. And it's like the mm-hmm. aha moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I noticed that, you know, there's a process. God confides in you. And then he wants to see how you come through. And if you come through, you develop confidence. This is your relationship with God. This is your relationship with other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as you begin to confide in people, people begin to understand that there's a confidence. They can confide in you. They have confidence that you will come through. But does that mean that they will let you watch their firstborn? No
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And then as you begin to build up their confidence in what you can do, suddenly no longer is it that you just have a confidence in you. If you ask them, I don't mind watching your firstborn, they said, no problem. Somewhere between confidence and trust, there was something else that developed, another level of intimacy, and that's called respect.
Respect.
And that respect is something that happens in the building blocks of confiding and building confidence. And then somewhere between respect and the ultimate level of trust, it occurs. And somewhere you cannot quite tell where it is, where, you know what, when it came to your firstborn, your thirdborn, your whatever born, you know, they're more than willing to support you. They're more than willing to back you up. They're willing to trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're willing almost at that point, you know, how you can buy power,
yeah.
managerial power, technological power. You can do it with money and authority.
Mm-hmm.
But there comes a point where it's referent power. When they see what's in your life, they're willing to put their life into your hands. And so when I look at these different things, there are principles that apply in our lives that are exhibited in this chapter of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, also as we look at this economy,
yeah.
it's even more apparent that as we begin to move into situations like this, we want to control it.
Ooh.
We want to be able to, you know, say, I am the man.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't care if I was wrong. This is what I got to do to survive for everybody's sake, and we right. rationalize.
Right, right.
But God speaks to the intangible values in our lives, and that is the building blocks of who we are as a child of Christ. And in business, it's no different.
Mm.
And sometimes in these economic times, we have decisions and choices to make. And some of these are sometimes self-motivated. Sometimes they're financially driven. But as we begin to release these things into God's hands, and we begin to have that little private conversation and dialogue where God's saying, talk to me. I'm trying to talk to you. I don't want to listen. But you know what? Listen to that small, still voice. In a time when you get torn up on the inside, spend that little time and just say, what is it that you want to show me? Talk to God like he's your dad. You know, that's all he wants. He wants to be able to hear in these times of things. And he wants you to just take a step, because when you do, he's right there to support you and to build you up. But he will take you through these individual challenges to get there.
You know, these, I feel like, are the way that you're explaining it, actually, a lot of times we hear people, you know, the words integrity, trust, respect. Yeah, all just the words itself have weight. But the way that you explain it and how it affects the inside of a person and then how it affects the relationship, you know, sometimes I think of it as, you know, these tests, and that's they are. I mean, imagine if you didn't listen at Zippy's. Or the night before, you know, when you knew you were going to have that meeting and then the Lord was telling you at, what, 11:30 at night, and he shows the word covenant to you and you need to go, and you took it in. But if you didn't listen, you didn't respond, would this blessing have come? You know, why? Because could God have trusted Guy? A lot of times it's, we're always talking about we got to trust God more, trust God more. But I think in the process of all this, God is able to, he saw that this is my boy. I can trust him. I can, even under pressure, under temptation, to gain more, big time more, I can trust him. And that trust kind of conveyed to Mark, where he was able to say, you know what? Gentleman's agreement.
Absolutely.
A deal is a deal. And something happened. We talk about witnessing to people. It comes back to these very essential matters. Guy, thank you so much, man, for coming and speaking from your heart and just sharing the way that you shared today.
You're welcome.
You know, a blessing. It is really a blessing to have people like Guy Akasaki in our studio. And I know that somewhere, somehow, you've been touched, impacted, and blessed as well. A scripture for today comes from Proverbs 25:25. Like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. Invite someone to listen in and be inspired in our next show, Gripping Story of God's Love and Grace. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to our guest today, Guy Akasaki. Until next time, along with our technical producer, Leah Rodriguez, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Been listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro, along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva. We hope you have enjoyed our show and that you have been inspired by our featured guests and their stories of God's hand in their lives. Be sure to join us next week for more stories of hope in a time of crisis. Invite a friend to listen. There's no better time than today to unleash your God-given potential. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Just leave.